All right, that was absolutely beautiful. What a great message. I think it's time to give the invitation, Pastor. That was good enough right there. Thank you so much. All right. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in a book he has given. Wonderful words in the Bible I read, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus loves you this evening too. Good to see you here at Brookside Baptist Church. Been a while since we've been here. We've been out traveling pretty much every weekend, preaching in different churches around the country, and we've just been having a great time. Now, I've had several people, and of course, this being my home church, several people have said, well, are you done with your downtown work? The answer is no. Two more months of that, and then we'll be full-time hitting the streets, preaching the gospel, and so forth. So that's all I want to spend on what I'm personally doing right now, because tonight we're going to spend a little time in the Word of God, and then tomorrow we'll give a little bit of update on our specific ministry. I want to thank Pastor Ken, his wife, and the deacons, and all those involved in helping out over this week so far and spoiling the living daylights out of us, and all the missionaries said, there you go. It's been phenomenal, and the love that they've shown, and when you talk about sitting around the table getting chubby, I'll tell you, they've been doing that all right, so we're going to have to get out there and get back in the field pretty soon. But that's great, and we do appreciate it. I mean, it's sacrificial. I know the ladies and the men appreciate it, so thank you so much, Pastor, for what you've done. Out in the back very quickly is our table with Friends of Israel and Prophecy Focus Ministries. Prophecy Focus Ministries is a ministry I started 4 years ago about. Quite frankly, what has basically gotten us going around the country. I do conference ministry with Friends of Israel, and that's expanding. I'm writing with them, preaching with them, so we're actually involved in two different ministries at this particular point. But stop back. If you don't get the Friends of Israel, Israel My Glory magazine, while I'm here, you can get it free for a year, so please go in the back, sign up. There's literally no obligation, that type of thing. It's just free. We want you to get it. Talks about Jewish evangelism, Jewish customs, dispensational, if you know what that word means, dispensational teaching and so forth. So please take a minute, go back. Valerie, my wife, who most of you know, will be back there, and she'll be happy to get you signed up. Well, tonight I knew there would be missionaries here. I knew the pastoral staff would be here. And then I knew you would be here as God's people that are very special people. And the reason you're special is it's Thursday night. What are you doing in church? That's phenomenal. So God bless you for being here on a Thursday night, taking time out of your schedules, your work schedules. I see some students that are here. It's good to see you. So we trust the Lord will bless you tonight through what we're going to present. Well, let me ask you a question. How's it going? How's it going in the battle? How's it going in the battlefield? And I ask the missionaries, I ask the pastors, and I ask every other person that is involved in ministry. And you say, well, who else in the room is involved in ministry? Well, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've trusted in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, and you're a Christian, you're in the battlefield. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. You see, it is hard, and it is tough. And as I travel around the country and I talk to pastors and different people and Christians and the battles that they are facing, and it gets tough and it gets hard. The good thing about our ministry is I'm getting out of the secular into full-time ministry. I'm excited about that. A lot of the folks that have been in ministry for years, it's tough and it's hard and it's tedious at times. You say, you honestly are telling us that sometimes being in ministry is hard? You betcha it's hard. You're going to be attacked. And ladies and gentlemen, every single moment of every single day, you're going to be attacked. But the good news and the good thing that we're going to look at tonight, if you want to take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we're basically going to look at one verse tonight. And out of that, we're going to look at three specific principles that God gives us as his children. Now, you may be here tonight, and I'll just set this little caveat before we get started. If you're here tonight, and if you died this very moment, you can't say that you're 100% for sure. If you died, you go to heaven. quite frankly, the two-thirds of this message is not for you. We'll have something for you at the end. This message is specific for Christians, those who have trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and know without a shadow of a doubt if you died, you go to heaven. Every single one of the individuals that fall into that category, this message is for us. Because it is a missions conference, and we're going to look at different things, whether you're in the ministry at home, in what you may want to call, I don't like the term, but lay ministry. In other words, your profession isn't in the ministry, but you have a ministry. Every single Christian, has a ministry. And we're going to look at that tonight. Where are you at? I ask myself the same question. Where are we at with our walk with the Lord tonight? How excited are we about the ministry? How excited are we about, wow, I just can't wait to tell someone the greatest news ever given to man, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's missions, folks. That can be home missions, it can be foreign missions like some of the folks that are here this week. But every single one of us has a mission. Now, we'll start in a second, but here's the other thing. There's people in this room tonight, I have no idea who you are, that you're going to be called to a specific mission field. Some of you, it might be with an organization. Some of you might be overseas doing actual missionary work. But I will guarantee you, in a crowd this size, somebody in this room, probably several in this room, are going to be called to very specific missions. So I'm going to ask you to do like many of us have already done, to listen. Not just to me, but to listen to the Holy Spirit, who will somehow guide you through counselors, through the burdening your heart, to not miss that call, because you will get a call. It's not going to be an audible call from God. It's going to be somehow that he uses maybe someone on the staff, maybe a friend, maybe a parent, maybe a loved one, maybe through reading the scriptures itself, and you're going to feel the call of God to get involved in missions. Well, let's look at our verse for tonight. One verse, main verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Christians, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Catch that. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray now as we open up the only book that you've given to man in physical form, the Holy Word of God, that you'd speak to us from its pages. Now, Father, I pray that there are some here that may be discouraged, maybe hurting, maybe a little bit down, maybe a missionary, maybe a pastoral staff person, or maybe it's someone who's here tonight that may not be in full-time ministry, but their hearts are burdened. I pray, Lord, that we would look to you tonight, get the strength, get the motivation, get the encouragement, that we might get fired up and get back on the battlefield and become great servants of yours. So, Father, we pray that you revive the saved, save the lost, and we'll give the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The first principle we're going to look at, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren. What's Paul saying? He's saying, listen, you are my beloved brethren. You are people I care about. You are people I love. And I like that. That fits me when it comes to people at Brookside. People that you love, you care about, you've fellowshiped with, you've studied the scriptures with. My beloved brethren, very personal. What does he tell us to do in our ministry? Be steadfast, immovable. Be steadfast, immovable. What's he talking about? What is the concept of steadfast? To be settled in, to be firmly planted. It's basically to grab your seat, you sit down in it, and you do not move. I'm in the ministry. This is where God has put me. I'm not moving. Missionaries, preachers, people involved in ministries here at Brookside, you do not quit because it gets tough. God's saying, I want you to be steadfast, immovable. That's God's command for us. Pastor Joe's here. That's a good imperative. Be steadfast. Be immovable. He's good on, he likes his grammar. That's why I said that. Unmovable, glued to your chair. You are totally fixated on God's mission for your life. I'm excited about it. But some of you have been in the ministry a long time, and you suffer. And times get tough, and money gets tough. And Satan, the demonic army, does everything they can to try and discourage you and bring you down and help you to look at only the negative. And all of a sudden, you're laying flat on your face. You come to Brookside, and you're getting pumped up these last few days, and it's good, and you're excited, and it's wonderful. And then you get on the plane or in the car, and you go back home. And as pumped up and as charged up as you've been while you've been here at Brookside, you're going back to your battlefield. There's people in this room. You, as soon as you step out those doors, you're going back into your battlefield. And God's saying, listen, Christian, listen, I need you to be steadfast, immovable. Don't move. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Stick to it. Let me give you a couple of statistics. Interesting. In the world, there are 7,452 people that will die today. 7,452 people will be buried every single day this year. That means in 1 year, 2,719,980 people will die. How many of them die without Christ? That's a mission. There are 7.3 billion people in this world. That's a lot of people. But almost 3 million people will die every single year. How many of them will die without Christ? Well, statistics tell us from Pew Research that 31% of the world's population claims, and I use that word strongly, claims to be Christian. Now, just with that little percentage, that leaves us with a minimum of 69% of all people in this world do not claim to be Christian. If you really dissect that 31%, seeing it was done by a non-Christian group, I would suggest, that 31% is a high, high percentage. I would be shocked if it's more than probably 10 or 15% at most of individuals in this world that are Christians, and that may be high in that estimate. What does that tell us as God's people? Here's what it tells us. It tells me, as God's chosen one that has trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, just like you, Christian, that we've got a lot of work to do. My table is full, but the fields are empty. Who's going to get up and go? I'm stepping on my own toes too, folks. But that's why on January 6th, when we walk out of the door of the secular field, 100%. We've been doing 100%. We've been bivocational for 32 years. Ministry and secular work. Secular work to pay for the ministry. Now I can do double duty. I'm looking forward to that. How about you, folks? What are we going to do for the Lord Jesus? Here's the way we look at people. Statistics. Well, let's see. You said, how many people died last week? How many people got shot up in Milwaukee? How many people lost their lives? How many people died of cancer? And we come up with statistics. People in our world have turned into a statistic. We no longer look at people as people. We look at them as a line on a graph, as a number on a chart. And I ask the question, statistics, is that all it means to us? Is that all people mean to us, is a statistic? Now, by the way, and Brother Nate talked about statistics. Statistics are important. It's very important when it comes to performance management and so forth. But I'm talking about when we get totally myopic and we forget that people are human beings, and we forget that people have souls, and we forget that that person we walked by on the street, that they're nothing more than a stick figure in our mind. People, human beings, are not statistics. They are human beings. Every single one of them is so important that Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, looked down on every single human being, and the Father and Him and the Holy Spirit came up with a plan. And that was the plan that Jesus Christ, God's Son, the God Himself, would come down from heaven, take on a human body, suffer, get slapped around, bleed, pierced, die, so that me and you can be here today. Isn't that good? Now, ladies and gentlemen, young people, we got to get rid of this statistical concept when we come to people. Yes, there are 7.3 billion people in this world. That is a statistic. But now, instead of looking at every single one of those 7.3 billion people as nothing more than a statistic, to see them as human beings. And God said, listen, people, listen, my beloved brethren, I need you. I need you to be steadfast, to be immovable. What else does God tell us? Therefore, my beloved brethren, yes, I want you to be steadfast, like you're glued to this stadium, like you're glued to your job, like you're glued to your ministry. Always doing what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh boy, now get out your super double-toed steel shoes right now. You know what he's talking about when he's saying abounding in the work of the Lord? Exceeding the requirements, going above and beyond, kicking hard and pushing as hard as you possibly can. Like a runner who's going for the finish line and they're pushing as hard as they can, giving every last inch of juice that they have in their body to get the job done. And God says, listen, Christian, listen, Christian worker, listen, preacher, listen, missionary, get out there and abound in the work of the Lord. Give it more, more, more. Push. Because the finish line is going to be awful good. Push. What is God's mission? Here's God's mission. God has a mission, and He told us what it is. I like that. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 tells us the mission of Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is His mission. Jesus said, I've got a mission. And folks, when you got a mission, you are 100% dialed into that mission. I talked to a pastor this afternoon who has a son in the military, and talked a little bit about mission. That mission is, there are certain things that have to get done. You cannot quit. You cannot look back. You cannot get sidetracked. You can't get out of focus. You've got to stay on mission. And Jesus said, there is a mission I have. My mission, right up there, folks, Luke 19:10. This was His mission, to come to seek and to save that which was lost, people bound for hell, people bound for a Christless eternity. And Jesus said, I have a mission to see those people saved, if you will, from that eternal destination. How about 1 Timothy 1:15? Paul reiterates that mission, a little different wording. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is the mission of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus Himself, God's Son, came into this world to save sinners. And all God's people said, amen. Because you know why we should be saying amen? Because we're one of those sinners that God touched, that Jesus touched somehow through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us to Himself. And now it says, makes it clear, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into this world to do one thing, to save sinners. Now, yes, there's discipleship and helping Christians grow and so forth. Those are all important aspects. But, folks, you cannot disciple what is not saved. You can't help someone who's not trusted Christ. You can't do anything with a person to help their life until, first of all, they make a conscious decision to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the base. That's the starting point. It has to happen. Quick story. I was preaching in Minnesota about 3 weeks ago, three-day conference. And in the back, there was a little lady back there. And I'd watch as I'd preach, and she was very intent, watched pretty much everything I did. I did Q&A or question and answer time after every message. She always had a question about something. I found out that she went to a denominational church and she wasn't a Christian. And on day three, I pounded the gospel message. Now, I preach on prophecy pretty much everywhere I go. It's 27% of the Word of God. I preach on prophecy, things that are going to happen in the future. Not sensational preaching, but things that come straight out of the Word of God. You'd be surprised what's in there. But then at the end, I always never ever want to leave if I don't have to, or if I can possibly do it, to give the gospel. 3 days she heard the gospel message. 3 days I made it very clear that most people come into the auditorium. They know the three basic things. In our culture, almost every single person in this world knows three things. They know that they've done wrong. They know that they're sinners. And they know that because they've sinned, if they got what they deserved, they'd go to hell. Now, a lot of people will not accept that, but they understand that. A third thing that virtually every single person in the United States of America at least understands is that there's a person that was named Jesus Christ who came down from heaven, died on a cross, and was resurrected. Our culture knows those three things, yet the majority of our culture, the majority of the people, are not Christians. Why? Because they never accepted what's in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. They know the facts. They understand the facts. Just like that dear lady did in the back. She knew all those facts. But here's what they were missing. And folks, when we're telling people the greatest news ever given to man, they know they're sinners. They know they deserve hell. They know that Jesus died on a cross. But here's what they don't know. Every single person, before they get saved, thinks they're going to work their way to heaven. I'm going to be as good as I can. I'm going to try as hard as I can. I'm going to give it everything I've got. And God looks at him and says, you're not going to make it. You're going to go to hell. Ooh, that's politically incorrect. You're going to be in the lake of fire forever. But here's the good news. Are you ready? And you know this, Christian. For by grace, God's free and unmerited gift, are you saved? Saved from what? Saved from hell, saved from sin. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. And that's the piece that American culture doesn't get. And that's why he's called you to get that fourth point to every possible person that you can. That is our mission. Dear lady went back there. It finally hit her after night three. And I gave a little prayer of invitation, said, listen, if you're willing to accept God's free gift tonight, why don't you just take a moment and pray right by yourself. Just tell him, I understand I'm a sinner. I understand I don't deserve to go to heaven. I understand that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and died on the cross for my sins. And I now accept that free gift, just as you promised. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's promise to you. I gave the invitation. I asked people to raise their hand if they asked Jesus to come into their heart. Several people did. She was one of them. Now, here's the kicker. This is what preachers love. After we were done, I stand at the back door, start shaking hands. She walks up sobbing like a baby. And she said, I never knew that I could know for sure that I could go to heaven. I never knew that. And her life was changed that night. Listen, that makes our mission all worthwhile. Very quickly, and I know I only got a few minutes left. We were at an outing today, the pastors and the missionaries. And the man that waited on us at the store said, "Guys, wait a second, I got to tell you a story." And he told how he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he walked over to this guy right here, gave him a big old hug, and said, "This guy was used to change my life." It was great. Had 10, 15 guys praying around this guy before we walked out of the store. And it's worthwhile, wasn't it, Pastor? Well, finally, third thing. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, given 100% in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Your labor. Hate to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, missionary work, missions is labor. Where's my brother from Spain? Raise your hand up. Where you at? Right there. There's a story, and he's already told you about it last night. Labored for several years. Labor, toiling. I can imagine if he would be honest, he would say, "Man, I was like fed up to hear with not seeing folks come to Christ. I'm pushing. I'm burdened. I'm giving everything I can, but nothing's happening." And all of a sudden, bam. Now his problem is he's got so many people, he doesn't know how to disciple them all. And all God's people said, I mean, yeah, you labor. What does labor mean? You toil to the point of exhaustion. Day and night, night and day, getting out there, getting God's job done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Here's a verse I'd like you to think about. "Now then, Christian, we," me and you, Christian, "are ambassadors for Christ." Whew, that's pretty cool. I'm an ambassador. Wow. Hey, you're an ambassador. I want you to catch that. You are an ambassador. That means tomorrow morning when you wake up and you look in the mirror, Pastor, for me, that's not pleasant. When you wake up and you look in that mirror, here's what you need to see. You need to see God's ambassador, Christian. Because you see, every person you run into, you're their testimony, you're God's testimony to them. Every person who looks at you, every person who sees you, you are their ambassador from Jesus Christ himself. "Now then, we Christians are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were" what? Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. "Pleading, begging them, come to Jesus Christ." Always in love, always careful, never inappropriate, but pleading with them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. "We implore you, we beg you, we do everything I can. Listen, what can we do? What can I do to help? How can..." Whatever it takes. That's what God's asked us to do. You see, it's a picture in Israel. My Jewish friends and your friends, thousands and thousands of people around the world, yea, millions and billions of people around the world. And God said, "Who's going to go? Who's going to get out of their seat? Who's going to leave the comfort of the table? Who's going to go to Spain? Who's going to go to Africa? Who's going to go off to New Zealand and Australia and Brookfield and New Berlin and Milwaukee and Greenfield and Hales Corners and Franklin and Shorewood and every other place where people are dying every single day with out Christ. Missionaries, preachers, God's workers, Brookside ministry workers, never undo in doubt what you were led to do by faith, no matter how tough it gets. Always abounding. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisterin, ladies, gentlemen, young people, God asks us, therefore, my beloved Christians, the people I love, I care about, would you be steadfast? Will you be immovable? Will you always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, the pains and the toughness and the hardness and the insecurities and the financial hardships, that it's not in vain? You see, someday, and I'll close with this, we're going to wake up in the presence of God. And you're going to get up after you fall down and bow before the Lord himself. You're going to start looking around heaven. You're going to see somebody that you had no clue that you wanted to Christ because you gave him a tract or you talked to him. And you're going to have a shouting fit up in heaven. And then you're going to see some folks that you know you led to Christ, and you're going to see them face to face, and you're going to rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I've had people that I've told the gospel to many years ago who on Facebook all of a sudden find out where I am, and they call me or they text me or they message me and say, listen, when you were at such and such a church, I trusted Christ. And I go, yes, the labor was not in vain. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What are you going to do? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for Brookside. Thank you for this wonderful conference. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful people who are here tonight. And Father, I know I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone else. But Lord, we just want to take a minute. Listen, I'm not going to ask you to do one single thing tonight, except if you are not giving 100% to the Lord, if you're discouraged, if you're down, if you're hurting, take 30 seconds, take a minute. Make it right with the Lord right this moment. It's you and God talking. I'm not going to ask for hands. I'm not going to ask you to move. I'm asking you to do nothing. That's up to Pastor. What do you need to do tonight? Are you excited? Are you motivated? Is it the greatest thing? I just can't wait to get in the game. I can't wait to finish the mission. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, you do it right there where you're seated. You know the gospel. You know it. You understand you sinned. You said yes. You understand because you sinned, if you got what you deserved, you burned forever in an awful place called hell. You say, yeah, I've heard that, and I don't like it. Nobody would want to be there. But you believe that Jesus is God's Son, that he came down from heaven, died on the cross for your sins. You say, yes, I truly do believe that. Then right there where you're seated, why don't you accept God's free gift? You just say something simple like this. It's between you and God. I can't save you. A prayer can't save you. Your faith in Christ is what will save you. You say, what do I need to do? I've got to do it tonight. Are you accepting his free gift? Accept it. For by grace are you saved through faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, so forget about everything you've ever done. Forget about your church membership. Forget about your baptism. Forget about being good. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the what? It's God's gift. Jesus wants to give you that gift tonight. Right there where you're seated, tell Jesus, I'm taking your gift tonight. I'm getting saved tonight. I'm tired of doing it on my own. Father, seal any decisions being made tonight. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, and all God's people said,